Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Well, Dale, so good to have you back. Enjoyed so much learning about Jorge and your experience with him and what he taught you about those small things and passing it forward. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous being with you, Mike. I mean, here we get to talk about people who made such an impact in our lives. I'm very blessed. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Again, we start with thankfulness all the time. So what are you thankful for right now?
I think that right now, I've been thankful for obviously my family. That's what we talked about before. But today I want to thank all my friends and colleagues and those who have helped support me in the times when I needed that help. It wasn't necessarily the leaders. I like to tell people I've been yelled at least 10,000 times. And I've been in pretty prickly situations where my life was in danger. But it's the friends and the colleagues and family. And I didn't speak about my daughter. I mean, I have a daughter and she means the world to me. And she's finishing up going to work for NASA. And to have kids in your life, I think, is such a blessing. They give you a real perspective. And I wish that I'd known all the things that I share with you before, because it would have been nice that she wouldn't have to learn the hard way with me being a parent. Being a parent the first time can be kind of rough. There's no real playbook there either. So I'm very grateful for my family, my friends who have pulled me through so many things, and just the life we get to share, even in the toughest situations. No matter what happens, I've always been told that it is, work can give you a sense of accomplishment, but relationships give you joy.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Mike. Man, has this been a tough year. I'm currently working with several leaders in organizations and some entrepreneurs who have struggled successfully through 2020. But with 2021 looming, they're all wondering, what move do I need to make next year? With my team that's just tired and wanting some direction, or even for their own career wondering, what's next for me? If you're close to being in this same boat, I encourage you to take a look at the resources on my website, my blogs, books, and tools. And if you'd like to just chat a while about your situation, click on the contact tab and I'll be happy to set up a time to talk with you. Thank you for letting me interrupt. Now back to the show.
Thanks for sharing about your daughter and your all those things that are going on so well in your life. So tell us about another person that has made a big difference and changed the way you view life and work.
I would love to tell you about that story. It was tough enough, my West Point experiences, and we talked about that last time, but imagine, if you would, entering the Army. I was entering the Army at a time when they had just integrated women. So not only did I have the social revolution at West Point, where there was a lot of antagonism about women's role in being in the military. When I entered the Army 4 years later, they had just transitioned women into the Army. And so that was a tough period. And I went, and the engineers, you know, if I want to make it more difficult on myself, there you go. You know, I go to West Point, and that was in the Army, not always thought of greatly. They thought, oh, you guys think you're so great. Well, then I go into the Army, which of all the services was probably one of the toughest ones to go into for a woman. And then I went in engineering, which it's like, what's another profession where there aren't too many of us out there? And during that time, it was challenging. And I was learning how to be an officer. and they gave me an organization. Imagine being in charge of 30 people 24/7. It was a new platoon, and they said, we need you. And the function they had before was failing. So I took over a failing task, and I needed to fix the task with a whole new group of people. So pretty big issue. And the first, they have non-commissioned officers. You have officers that come from colleges, universities, and go in. And then you have non-commissioned officers who come up through the ranks, and they're incredible leaders who you pray you get someone to really guide you. And in my case, the first one was incredibly articulate, but no substance, did not share my values. West Point was easy. Not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who, nor tolerate those who do. I mean, that was easy. And then I learned later, I didn't know that he was cheating on his wife. It was just an unfortunate situation, but you have to always dig below the surface. And in his case, I didn't. I just took him as his word, and it wasn't that great. And then I had someone else who joined us just a couple months later who was actually skilled in the one that I needed, which was map making. We were supplying maps to the whole east of the Mississippi River. And it was in chaos, like I said, taking it over. But I didn't hear about this man until my troops came to me and they said, Ma'am, did you know Sergeant Scott was in our area and he's telling us what to do? He's countermanding your orders. He's telling us to do something different. And they were upset and then told me those words that a leader doesn't want to hear, that someone is overriding your what you gave as commands and guidance. And so I remember going to formation being quite upset based on what my troops had told me. And we get in a formation. I said, Sergeant Scott, I need to see you after formation. Of course, I'd learned at West Point to lower my voice, right? When it came to being command. So he did. But I know that he was thinking, man, this woman's upset. And so when I brought him to my office, then I basically shared with him. I said, look, I know I'm young. I know I just came from West Point. There's a lot for me to learn, but I am the platoon leader. I am the leader of this group. And I said, I need you to respect that. I need you to support me in that. And I've been told you've been countermanding my orders. You've done this, you've done this. Look, if you can't handle it, I get it. I'll go find you another job. Okay, I understand. Because I thought it would be the woman thing. I didn't know what it was, but I figured it could be the woman thing. I gave him an out. And thank goodness he saw something special in me because most people would have said, I'm out of here, right? She doesn't even ask me a question and she judges. That's a huge point I want to make to your listeners, because you must, especially if it's negative, you must investigate further. You must ask questions accordingly, as if giving people the benefit of the doubt instead of accusing them, because my troops were not happy that he knew their jobs better than they did. And so that's why they fed me the information they did, because he was actually questioning them. You've been trained. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And so he was holding them accountable. And Sergeant Scott, we called him James O. Scott, James Otis Scott. He had a number of nicknames, Scotty. He knew everybody on the installation. And my favorite story is I think he could read everyone's minds. If something were ever lost, he'd find it. If someone were ever troubled by something they didn't want to share, he would figure it out. He was just that amazing. He was always 10 steps ahead of everyone there earlier. He was the ideal person to guide me. And one area, he put me in a room. And he would tell me what my soldiers had done. And after I closed my jaw in shock, he'd look at me and he'd said, now, when we walk out of this room, you will not show that face. You will get your command presence back and you will just be calm, cool, collected, right? And I'd say, yes. The only thing that he did that I didn't like is when the donut guy would come by with his dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and he would send him away. because I would buy the dozen and we would all eat the donuts. But other than that, he became like a father figure to me. He followed my career. He went to Hawaii. I followed him to Hawaii on assignment. We worked near each other. We didn't work for each other. He was my first sergeant when I became a company commander. And we had every year we had more and more challenges that we had to face. But when you have one person who believes in you and shares your values and works so closely with you, you can change the world. You can literally change the world. And we, because there were many policies that weren't supportive necessarily of women, we changed that. Our little company, out of all these other companies that were almost all male except one other, we won the athletic award. We won the brigade trophy for athletics. And trust me, that didn't go well with all the other units. But I got to laugh about it. It was great.
How does this lesson he taught you and what he modeled for you impact you today in your work that you do?
Well, one is we say, I want to come up with something better. We say don't judge a book by its cover, but that's negative language. Don't. And everybody does. Everybody judges a book by its cover. The biggest one was looking below the surface and believing in the people who you're with. Believing in the goodness. Now I call it, I talk to the hero. No matter what they present, I talk to the hero within them. And I think that lesson, believing in people, having faith in people, they will give it back 1,000-fold.
Well, Deb, thanks so much for sharing this story about the leader in your life, about looking deeper and looking for the hero and reminding us all of important things that we need to remember. So as we close, can you let the listeners know how to get in touch with you and kind of what you're up to and all that
stuff? Yes, I would love to. My business is mentallytoughwomen.com. And I have a lot of offerings, free courses, for example, for people to handle extreme stress, for them to be handling the stress basics. And if they go to mentallytoughwomen.com/Deb, D-E-B, they can get access to those free courses. They'll get those links. And you're going to find out that we're all here to help each other. And Sergeant Scott sacrificed so much. He, like many veterans, was exposed to chemicals and things and died far too early. We need to make the most of our lives. We need to make the most of every minute of every day and enjoy the people that we have and bring out our best. And he certainly helped me understand what that meant, especially when you're very passionate about causes and how to do that. And so my mentally tough women, I've been hammered, as I said. Now I figured out how to come out of it and make better choices in life and take on much more stress. I'm not like the others that say give up stress. I tell you, there are bigger challenges ahead and you need to be ready. And so I help people get ready, not just to handle their own challenges that they're facing today well, but to get ready for what's next, because it's going to get tougher, but you can be tougher.
Well, Deb, thanks so much. All this contact information will be in the show notes. So please get in touch with Deb, experience some of her seminars and her teachings, and can change your life. So Deb, thanks so much for sharing this 10 minutes with us and look forward to the future.
It's been an honor to be with you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deb. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control, but I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.